There's a certain sound that your phones make when there's a text message coming in. And I received one this week that made me really think. And it was from someone that's close to me who has been going through a challenge, qualified, has a good career, but has moved. And it's a hard time finding a new job. Some of you may know what that's like. But they said this in their text message, and I said, I'd never thought about it this way before. Talking about God, she said, I trust God. I trust God. And then she added this, that's hard. My faith is tired. Wow. And I think some of us are starting to know what that's like right now. We're getting tired of this COVID. We just wish it would be taken away and we could go on with life. And yet it is so impacting. My faith is tired. Now, we've heard in the Bible different phrases around faith. We heard Jesus talk about a little faith, a great faith, weak and strong, a faith like a mustard seed, what it's capable of doing. But we never heard of a tired faith. We've also heard about that which will destroy your faith. And phrases like, why did you doubt, Peter? Why did you doubt? Or on the sea, why did you fear? I'm here. Doubt and fear that destroy your faith. So we've also heard that the trying of your faith produces patience. But the idea of a tired faith is our experience when we have to hang in there for a long time. And it's been a struggling time. And when it's a long time and a struggling time, and you continually have to trust God and lean on God, you're happy to do it, but you say, God, my faith is getting tired. My faith is getting tired. And maybe this is why in Matthew 24 and verse 13, Jesus says, he that does what until the end will be saved. Yeah. Do we understand what endurance is all about? We can endure hunger generally for 5 minutes, right? And I endured being hungry. So walk into the kitchen and it's not quite ready. And, well, we find ourselves snacking until it is ready. We're not used to the idea of enduring. It's tough to endure. And yet, I think COVID is bringing us through the experience of learning to endure something and making the adjustments that we have to make in order to get through this. But you notice that part of endurance involves hope. We will make it. And you hear them say that often on the TV. We will get through this. And then all of a sudden there's another strain. And you say, oh my, are we going to get through this? Will it ever? And what will happen if there comes another strain, and it gets tougher and more difficult. Is it through this experience that we are to learn to have a faith that endures and keep those things that are important for that, which is hope? And hope is an attitude. And endurance is hanging on to that attitude for the long haul. And you notice that you go from an emotion to a mental commitment. And endurance involves a mental commitment. There's not a lot of feeling in the word endurance. It's when the desire is to say, I want rest. I need peace. I would like to be able to refresh. How delightful it would be to have a moment where I could just not have any pressure on at all. But I need to work. I need to be there for my family. I need to be there for my colleagues. I need to do it and not give in to my feelings. I need to override my feelings. And that's why endurance is generally a characteristic of those who've been around for a while. It's not generally easy for young people to have that quality. And probably they don't have the need in their experience for enduring as much as some of us have been around for a while. And we need to model and encourage those that have not been there going through some of these things like we have. And that's why it's important to have seasoned Christians, those that have gone through some of the difficult times. One of this, besides this component, that opens up a real thought of my faith is tired, Lord, is that faith has different levels. We generally think of it in contrast, faith or doubt, or little or a lot. Jesus often compared those, oh, you little faith, but I haven't seen such great faith in all Israel, like he's mentioned. But we generally don't think about the levels, and the levels reflect our maturing that you and I have in our walk with God. And I've identified four different levels, and they'll be expressed this way. Level one is believing in the obvious, what appears easy to discern. For example, I believe that God is a creator God. I think there's evidence of intelligent design. That doesn't take a whole lot of faith to grasp, because when you look around and enjoy the beautiful things of nature, it's very obvious, and it should be for everybody, although some choose not to exercise or to believe in God. So there's that level one, which it's obvious. I can see lots of evidence, and that I can believe that there's a God who is creator. It takes a next level down to accept and believe that God, the ability of God, that he can do all things that he desires to do. He can override the laws of nature that he has put in place. He can intervene. And the Bible's full of, you mean someone, there's actually a being that can close the mouths of the lion. There's actually a being that can cause you not to get burned when you go into a fire. I don't know. Can open the Red Sea, really? So some have really doubted. But the Bible declaration and the testimony is true. God has ability, and there's nothing too hard for God. That's a deeper level than looking around you in nature and say, my, I think that there's an intelligent design behind this. The third level besides, and those are externals, right? You look and see nature, or you look and you see God in action. But then you come to your own experience in the next level that you believe, I believe God is guiding in our lives, that he actually is interested and involved, And even though I don't see it at the moment and I don't understand it and I'm struggling, I believe that God does fulfill what he says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And we probably, is there anyone that can give Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 by memory? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding if? Yes. Very good. That's a promise text that will encourage you all your life. And we believe that. If we trust God, and we do, we don't lean to our own understanding. We want his wisdom to guide. If in all our ways we put ourselves on the altar and say, God, I trust you will lead, it says, he shall. God put his reputation behind that phrase. He shall direct your paths. That's the promise. And I think we all would agree there's moments that we say, God, are you really guiding in my life right now? Are we on a detour, or have you let me on my own for a while, or I don't understand? And I think all of us probably have told Jesus, Jesus, I want you to know when we get on this, when we get to heavenly places, that you and I have to have a talk, because I need to understand why you permitted me to go through this moment. And we fully trust that Jesus will have an answer, because we trust God. We have taken the position that we will put ourselves totally into the trust belief of God. And that at no time do we have more wisdom than he. He can see the beginning and the end. We cannot penetrate into the future. He sees it. So the first level of faith is looking at the obvious external and coming to a conclusion. Yeah, I can see. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must first believe that he is. So I see the evidence that he is. There's an intelligent design. Hebrews 11, 6. I can accept that. That's external. The second, the ability of God. Okay, I can accept that God can do that, even though, wow, it violates everything I can know but the normal. But there's the testimonies of people that have been there and done that in the Bible, and I accept that. And now then it comes a little closer in the third level. God, I believe you're guiding my life. There are moments when I may struggle with that. But the other two levels help me to believe the third level. And there are times, I think all of us would agree, that we miss the mark. And we've made choices that's taken us off the path that he's had for us. And he's had to go to plan B to get us back where he wants us. But he doesn't leave. He may have to make adjustments, but we know when we get back, God, I'm back on the plan. I'm back on the path you want me to be. I want you to be the guide of my life, to bring into my experience, to take me through that which will give you glory. And sometimes we may never, ever know why God chose to take us through the path. It may be for our benefit. It may be for someone else's benefit. It may be for God's glory. And you remember how in John chapter 9, the disciples and Jesus come into this town, and there's a man that's blind from birth. And what did the disciples say? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's born blind? And Jesus said, neither one, but for the glory of God. Wow. So when you look on sometimes in your experience, You may say, did I do wrong? Did my parents do wrong? Or am I being punished for the choice I made? And we look how we could be responsible. And God says, I'm taking you through this experience because you love me, because it will have an influence on this person, or it will give God glory because you'll be faithful. I have a bigger picture. And so that's why when we're into a challenge of any kind, an experience that comes our way at any time in our life, we say, God, help me to embrace this for your glory. It's not this man who's done wrong. It is that God can be glory, that you will be faithful. You will hang in there and do your best to give me glory. I can remember a message coming to us. We were living in Oshawa at the time. And our son was working at New Friend of Youth Camp, Seventh-day Adventist camping. And he and a friend were setting up a radio system. And he climbed this large pine tree, about 30 feet or more, 30 to 40 feet high. And he climbed it with copper wire in his hand. And he took it and threw it over, part of it held on, threw some of it over. And the other guy was going up another tree, and they're going to put a wire up and set up some type of system. The wire came down over hydro lines. And the electricity came back, went through a system, fried his hands, burned his hands, blew a hole through his sneaker. He lost his ability in the tree and fell all that way through the tree, breaking branches, and landed in a fetal position in the pine needles with rocks around him. They took him to the hospital. They did inside testing to see the damage that was there. And he was okay. They called us, and we got that news. What was the possibility that either through that electricity or the fall, he could have been a quad? That our life's work for my wife and myself would be to take care of a handicapped person. Was that a possibility? It was a possibility. And are there people that actually go through similar experiences? Why we didn't? I can't answer that. But could it have been? And if that was the case, it may have made a total career change difference, a total life change difference, and we possibly could have been responsible to care for someone for the rest of our lives who no longer take care of themselves. So what I'm saying is, if that had happened, then God was guiding that my and my wife's responsibility and giving glory to him would be through caring the best we could for someone now that's entrusted to us. And we, even though we may have visions of great things and coming to Newfoundland, and no, God says, this is what I want you to do. And it's your greatness is in giving God glory, not how you are seen in the stage before others. And so that's why whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might for the glory of God. And it's possible your faith may get tired. And that's where you move from the feeling to the commitment of endurance. I do it with the commitment of the mind. The final level, so you have the obvious, external, you have believing in the ability of God, you have the belief and the testimony of others and the Bible that he will guide you. And the fourth level, that's a challenging level. It's that believing God when it goes against your feeling or against the obvious circumstance. I will hang in there and believe God, even though it goes against against where I am and what I think. And what I feel is a possible decision. And it will take me to a new level, like hanging over a cliff. But I trust him. So it's guiding your life, yeah, but this is different. This is, I'm faced with something that could be a catastrophe. But based upon God's word, I'm willing to go against this, against the feeling because of what he wants me to do. And the circumstances seem to suggest I do something else, but because of what God has said, and I'm willing to go against what the appearance is. Now, just a couple of illustrations to back some of these up, and then I'm going to give some Bible texts and have you help me to determine which level we're talking about. So let's give level one and a Bible text that supports level one. And level one is, I have faith to believe the obvious. So Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 to 5. This is the one referring to creation. I have faith to believe in the obvious. Psalm 8, 3 to 5. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. That's level one. I can believe because there's evidence and it's external that there is an intelligent designer. That's level one. Level two, Matthew 9, 20 to 22, the woman who had the issue of blood. This is, I believe in the ability of God. That he's the sovereign of the universe, yes, and he's a creator, but I believe that he's engaged with me and our world around us, and he has ability. He has ability to cross the natural laws and to do special things. Really? Yeah, the Bible declares that. In Matthew 9, 20 to 22, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came up from behind, touched the hem of her garment, and for she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I will be well. Is that faith? That is faith. Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. That's the level two. I believe in the ability of God. There is a thousand ways he can resolve things that don't even cross my mind. God has ability beyond my comprehension. When he is trusted, he will guide us and do whatever intervention needs to be done. He has that ability to do it. Will he always choose to do it? That's his wisdom. That's his wisdom. The third one, guidance in my life. This is one of the most challenging texts, I think, if you have to reflect on it. And that's Genesis 45, verses 4 and 5. And it's a story of Joseph. And you know the tough time Joseph had with his brothers and how they treated him, how he finally was sent by his dad to find the brothers and bring word back. And when he came to his brothers, what they did to him, they attacked him, they tore off the coat of many colors, they threw him in a pit, sold him to slave traders, and he ended up going down to Egypt. Now, is there anyone here who would say God led Joseph through this Egypt? No. There's nothing about this story that encourages you to believe. It was his brothers that did all of this. But look what Joseph says when his brothers came to Egypt and he finally made himself known to them. Genesis 45, 4 and 5, it says, and Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Now the last phrase is unbelievable. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Now, was there anything in the story up to that time that would encourage someone to think that God has been overriding and guiding in my life? There's nothing. You get the picture of jealous brothers, envious brothers, angry brothers, who wanted to get rid of this character that was always a nuisance, that their dad loved more than them, and we'll get rid of the guy. But God preserved Joseph. They could have killed him. And he saw and overruled. So yes, he came down, and the brothers had this idea, but God turns it into being a blessing. And he says, don't be angry. It would have been easy for Joseph to say, I'm going to get even with you. But in the challenge that Joseph had in wrestling with what his brothers had done to him, he saw God's providence in guiding his life. And it may be that some of us are in a tough spot right now. And we say, I don't see how God can possibly use this. But like Joseph, at a moment in the future, you could look back and say, you know, even though you meant harm for me then, even though that was tough for me then, I can see now that God turned that and had a purpose and overruled and made it possible for me now to be in a place where I am to save life. I am able to make a contribution. And God saw that future. We didn't. At the moment, it was tough for Joseph. It was tough to be in Potiphar's house and under struggle. It was tough to be more than 2 years in a prison. Those weren't easy experiences. But he trusted God, even though it meant endurance. His faith, I'm sure, was tired. The final level is where you make a decision. I have faith in what God wants me to do, even in the light of a possible consequence. And we'll just summarize this one. Our time is slipping by. And you remember how the Hebrew boys refused to bow down and do something wrong and not glorify God. They would not bow down to an image. As a result, they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar, who said, I'll give you another chance. When you hear the music, bow down. Otherwise, you're into the furnace. And the three Hebrew boys made a very beautiful declaration of faith and trust in God. The sovereign of the universe, the God who had ability, who could solve the issue, and they said, we don't have to think a whole long time about this. King, we want you to know we'll not bow down to your image. Our God is able to deliver us from the fire. And I'm sure every man there chuckled. Sure, sure, sure. Our God can deliver you from the fire. He has a way to do it if he chooses to. We wish sometimes he'd do it a little faster, but we don't question his ability. We may not know the reason why, but someday we'll ask him. But he said, if not, if he chooses not to, even though we believe he can, we'll still have faith in God and are willing to go into the fire. That's a level 4. You don't get to that level in a relationship with God on day 1. It comes with walking with God. It comes with settling into a relationship with him. It comes with living a life of trusting him. And We know the story. It happened. It happened. The fire was hot enough to burn the ropes that tied them, but it was not hot enough to destroy them. So we talk sometimes of faith, about a little faith, a great faith. We talk about doubt and fear, that's against faith. But we need to think about faith on levels. And faith on levels comes when you walk with God. It comes over time. It's increased by studying the Bible. It increases when you permit God to take you through experiences. That's why James says the testing of your faith produces endurance. You come to be a stormtrooper for God. Challenges don't overwhelm you. You may be tired, but you hang in there because you trust God. A couple of illustrations. You tell me what level we're talking about of the four. An obvious demonstration like a creator or ability of God or guidance in your life or making a decision that means you're going against some difficult potential things ahead of you. All right. The man who has a boy that's possessed. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father cried out with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. What level would you put that in? 2, yes. Did he believe in the ability of God, that God could heal his boy that was going through a difficult time, possessed the devil? And he struggled with that. He struggled with the believing in the ability of God. That's a level 2. Romans 1:20-21. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. What level are we talking about? Level 1. Yes. Romans 4:20-21. Abraham, it declares of him in Romans 4. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And so this, we can put this in the category of the promised son that would be given to him in his old age. What category would you put that one in? I didn't catch it. Yes. 3? Put it in 3, the guidance of God in your life? Yes. Could it fit into another category? In 4. And I guess it could fit into 2 as well, couldn't it? The ability of God? How can someone 99 possibly have a son and a wife being around 90? So you can see that the stories of the Bible may talk about faith generally, but it's often faith at different levels. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the faith, the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Not to me only, but unto all who love his appearing. What level would you put that on? 4? Okay, he's come to the place where he's going to die, and he looks back over his life, and he sees how God has guided in his life. Wouldn't that be number 3? I believe that God guides in my life. Yeah, I think that probably falls in number 3. That God, I look back over that and I can see how God has led in my life. We need to live with hope. And Titus 2:13 says, we live for the hope of the blessed hope, the coming of the Lord. And we need to live with the mental endurance. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. And I think the COVID experience that we're going through these last couple of years, even though there's so many negative things that are there, endurance is one of the characteristics that possibly can come out of this positively. So I encourage each one of you on your journey of faith with God and trust with God that you will see the importance of depths of faith as well as kinds of faith. That you will see that when your faith is tired, it'll be very easy for doubt and fear to come in. And when doubts and fear haunt you, shift from the emotional side to the mental side and say, God, help me to overrule my feelings and be willing to endure to the end because I want to be saved. And if anyone here today, we probably all are a little bit, we have a faith that is tired. May we lean on Jesus. And because he says, all that come to me, I will no wise turn away. In his name. Loving Father, we are getting tired. Many of the things that we love to do, including coming to worship you, have been handicapped. And we see people around us that are going through challenging times. And there are many that have been affected by COVID that actually have become very sick and have residues and some even die. Lord, we trust you. We have full confidence of faith in your ability, your guidance, and that your promises, if we hold on to them, will take us through this experience. May we learn the quality of endurance. Even though we know emotions are very beautiful and our desires love to be fulfilled, that we will be people that will mentally override some of these things when they need to be, so that we don't doubt or fear, but that we'll endure to the end, holding on Jesus, having hope in his name. Amen.